Reading one is from a document called Consent in Gaming by Sean Reynolds and Shannon Dermody. And it's all about how we have safe gaming and consent rules about participating in role-playing games. Well done. Second reading. That's also about community. What kind of community was that about? No? Going once? I should tell you, the church I preached to on Sunday, Countryside and Valentine, they got both of them. Just in case you're competitive. No? Okay. Reading two is from Unlocking the Power of Covenant by the Reverend Carol Thomas Sissel, interim chair of the 2021 Commission on Appraisal and Unitarian Universalism. In other words, that's a reading about UU covenants and churches. Now, before we dive into what these two have in common and why they matter to us, I'd like to know a little bit more about who I'm talking to. So, show of hands, who here likes to play games? Most of you? Okay. Who enjoyed the whole building the brand new game exercise? Some of you? Okay. A little less. All right. Who thinks games are for kids? Who thinks games are only for kids? Well, that's good. Okay. And finally, who are the role player people, role play game people in here? Oh, okay. Hello, my people. Nice to meet you. All right, so our heritage as Unitarian Universalists, I told that this month is all about heritage, yes. Our heritage as Unitarian Universalists and as human beings is all about covenant and consent. From our earliest days, it has been about how are we going to be with one another and how are we going to act with one another and do we give consent? Now, for avid game players, rules are very important. But more important than the written rules of any game are the unwritten rules. These are the rules we agree to first before we even sit down at the table. These are the house rules, so to speak. So for the sake of argument, how many of you have played Monopoly? Yes, most of you have played Monopoly, exactly. Are you familiar with the house rule that if you land on free parking, you know, the money from community chests. Oh, yeah. You know that's not a real rule, right? Yeah. That's a house rule. Right, okay. Another house rule would be, well, in my household, there is the Cheryl rule, which is otherwise known as the blue meeple rule, which means that in any game that has colored pieces for the players, my wife gets blue. I will offer you your choice of colors as the guest, but if you take blue, I will go. Cribbage. Did you know that there is a... I didn't know this. When I first started playing cribbage with my mother-in-law, I'm a poker player, so I shuffled the cards, and then I offered her the cut. And she took the deck, and she mixed it all over the table like a big mess. I'm like, what the heck is that? Turns out there's a rule or a house rule that if you offer the person to cut in cribbage, they get points. So her spreading the cards all over the table was her kind way of not taking advantage of me for not knowing that rule. I don't know. It's really important that you know the house rule. You wouldn't want to sit down at a poker table without asking the house rules. I did that once. Didn't like that. Do we have any Star Wars people in here? Good. What's the house rule about table battle chess? On the Millennium Falcon. You're playing a game of battle chess with someone on the...
Always let Chewbacca win.
Always let the Wookiee win. That's a house rule from Star Wars. This is how we play our games. We agree ahead of time to how we're going to be, how we're going to play. And the actual rules of the game are less important than those house rules. Now, for role-playing games, this is called a session zero. It's the first time we meet to play, but we're not actually going to play. We're going to get together, And we're gonna talk about what kind of world do we wanna be in, what kind of rules are we gonna use, what kind of roles are we gonna play? And we're gonna talk about what triggers everybody. So that we don't trigger people in the game. This is a relatively new thing for role players. It only showed up in the last few decades or so. And it's the game before the game starts. It's how are we gonna address conflicts if they arise? How are we going to take care of one another? Maybe Matt has a thing about spiders, and so Matt would really appreciate it if we don't do spiders, especially giant spiders. Maybe we want to have the opportunity to say, hey, guys, I just experienced a death in the family. It'd be really good today when we play if nobody dies. That's how we take care of one another. These are where we talk about triggers and all these other things. Now, it may come as some surprise to you non-gamers that as this session zero concept, as these consent in gaming concepts came into play, there were some folks in the gaming community who were very resistant to it. They're very upset about consent in gaming. They're very mad about these session zero things. Their responses are usually, we don't need this. This is not how the game is played. If you are sitting down at my table, consent is assumed. I don't have to ask you what I can put in my game because you're already giving me permission to do what I want at the gaming table. If you don't like it, get up, leave, and don't play it. This is all just a bunch of woke stuff at the gaming table. This has actually been going on for 20 years. Mostly, no offense to you, sir, but mostly by people who look like you and me. Older, white, male gamers who've probably been gaming for decades. And all of a sudden people are coming in and telling us we have been doing it right. We need to actually be more open to taking care of one another. The trick is this session zero stuff, this consent in gaming, this safe gaming, this taking care of each other, it has changed role-playing games. It has increased the number of women who play. It has increased the number of people of color who play. It has increased the number of indigenous people who play. It has increased the number of GLBTQ people who have played. Basically, everybody who was on the margins or kept out or scared out have been invited in and given a space. And they have started creating their own games, their own systems. And it's completely changed. The whole outlook, we're in a full renaissance with role-playing games right now, and now in board games, because of, at one point in time, someone said, oh, maybe we should make the rules explicit. Maybe we should talk to each other about what we need and want, and what would be best for everybody involved. And yeah, there's been some resistance against that. Covenant is about explicit prior consent, and it allows people to enter safely into the gaming space. Covenant and agreeing about how we will play together reduces the chance of people getting hurt and then quitting the game forever. If any of that sounded familiar to the non-gamers, it's because covenants are a part of our heritage. Covenants have been a part of our identity as Unitarian Universalists since the very beginning, hundreds of years. The Cambridge Platform in 1648 is a covenant. The preamble to the Constitution is a covenant. There are no rules of law in the preamble of the Constitution. It's the session zero of the Constitution. We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, blah, 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 blah. It tells you why they're getting together, what their intent is, and who's included. Covenants do not tell you what to believe. They don't tell you how to do church. They don't tell you how to do religion. They don't tell you how to do games. Covenants tell you how to be. Covenants in our churches do not define what a Unitarian Universalist is. Either, like I said, the preamble does not define what democracy is. It doesn't define what a citizen is. But they set boundaries and goals. There are agreements to how we will be with one another, how we will play together, how we will work together, how we will worship together, and how we will journey together. They assume that there will be challenges and mistakes and hurt feelings, but they also try to make sure that everyone is involved and everyone can participate and that no one has to quit and take their ball and go home. I hesitate to say this, but in case you hadn't noticed, resistance to covenant is also a part of our heritage. There's always people, when you suggest doing a covenant, that they don't want to do it. Now, who are the people resistant? Now, some are just the people who are covenanted out. What? Covenant? Again? Didn't we already do this? Yes, but part of covenanting is redoing it every time you get more people. Otherwise, it becomes a set of rules that people don't know explicitly and didn't have buy-in to. But that's not the troublesome part. That's covenant fatigue. We can deal with that. Mostly, the resistance comes from people who have power and don't want to give it up. People who like what they have and do not want to see it change. And then you notice some of us are highly resistant to change. There are some people who find boundaries too restrictive. Hey, isn't this the church where we can do and believe anything? No, that has never been the case. There are also people who are afraid that if you covenant, their behavior might no longer be acceptable. I have a hint for you. Your behavior was not acceptable before. It's just we didn't tell you that. Just like the Renaissance in the gaming world, our UU congregations are on the cusp of a revolution and a Renaissance. One fueled by covenant and consent. One powered by new faces and new ideas and new spirits, people who didn't feel welcome before or felt excluded or pushed out before, but now, maybe now, they can come play the game with us and they can come, we will let them play the game. Our governance at General Assembly is changing. It's no longer all about Robert's rules of order. The people elected to our leadership positions are changing. They no longer are all ministers and all white and all male. We're all able. Things are changing because we have decided to open the doors and make it explicit. Once we decide on the fair house rules and make them explicit for everyone, once we all give and receive consent, things change. Everybody actually gets to play. The most important part of the game, the most important part of practicing our faith, takes place before we start. Before we start the worship service, before we start the board meeting. It's when we decide who's included, how are we going to be. How are we going to take care of one another? How are we going to deal with challenges? How are we going to keep from hurting one? And that only works if it's explicit and we give people a chance to consent. Or, in shorthand, in religious terminology, with our covenant. Or in gaming terminology, session zero. Either way, there are still people out there who are on the outside. And so we have work to do. And quite frankly, I'd like to invite them into play.